Movie, film, 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 film,
again for the third week in November. And if you are listening to this episode, most likely you can watch this episode because this one is going to be put on YouTube. That's right. We're back. You're listening to Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film. I'm Nate, and don't you see what's happening? They're fattening us up. They're going to kill us all.
And I'm Terrell, and you ain't gotta love me. Know that I love you.
That's from Moonlight.
It is.
I just watched that Moonlight today.
I saw.
Yeah, it's Barry Jenkins' birthday.
Happy birthday, Barry!
Do you know mine?
No, I do not. Should I? I should know it, probably. No, go ahead. Say what it is.
It's from Chicken Run.
Oh.
Yeah, we're doing Lady Bird today, so I quoted a lady that's a bird.
Exactly. Right on the nose. Like, perfect.
Yeah, a little left of the nose. So, yeah, we'll be talking about Lady Bird. But first, you watch anything this week?
I did not. This all is going right. to be all you.
But first, yeah, let's hear about what Nate watched this week.
Yeah, this is the Nate segment.
All right. Well, I only watched 8 movies this week.
Only.
I focused on coming of age movies in honor of Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. I'll start with Moonlight since you quoted it, and I just watched it today. Check out episode 20 if you want a more in-depth conversation about Moonlight. But man, what a film! It's so good. just everyone giving incredible performances. There's Ashton Sanders, Jarrell Jerome, Naomi Harris. I mean, Mahershala Ali got the Oscar for it.
Sure did.
And just the color and just Miami. I think that's something I'll be getting into, and I guess I can bring it up now. It's just with coming of age movies, I really appreciate a strong sense of time and place. And Moonlight definitely goes through the years of Miami and then a little bit of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the episode.
Yeah, listen to the episode because, like,
you want the deets.
Yeah.
I also rewatched Almost Famous. It was only my second time seeing that. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's a.
I think it's been on my watch list, but I never put it on an actual list. But like, I know of it, and I do want to watch it.
Yeah, it's weird that it was only my second time watching it because I saw it years ago and I liked it a lot, but I don't know, never went back to it, even though it's definitely the kind of movie that I feel like you could just turn on and just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my favorite parts of that movie are occur over the phone with the Philip Seymour Hoffman character as a mentor and Frances McDormand as the concerned mother.
Mm.
Kind of like the devil and the angel on our protagonist's shoulders. Good Jason Lee movie. It holds up better than Mallrats, so that's good.
Nice.
great music.
Check that episode out too.
Yeah, great music. It's about rock, so it's got a lot of rock and roll in the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And just really fun.
I'll be checking that out. Yeah, keep going.
I guess I'll keep going.
Yeah.
I watched The World of Us. which is a Korean film from 2016,
mm-hmm.
about a girl in fourth grade, a loner, who makes a friend over the summer, and then that friend joins her class, and then they drift apart. And it is devastating.
Yeah.
But also, like, the scale is just so small.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a great thing about coming of age is just that it posits that the lives of young people are the events are as monumental as, I don't know, any other movie.
Yeah.
So when there's an argument over a friendship bracelet, it does kind of feel like the end of the world. It tore me apart. Also, the mother from Parasite was in it, also playing a mother. The rich mom? No, the main mother. The mother of the main family. But she was a different kind of mother in this one. She's a good actress. And I'm going to... I have another movie that she was in that I'm going to watch next. She actually did a movie with the director of Burning.
Okay.
So I'm going to check that out next.
Nice. Yeah, check that episode out too.
Yeah. So yeah, The World of Us is on Amazon Prime if you want a something different. I thought it was very... just really well done and very incisive look. And just really heartbreaking. And I'm not sure I've seen bullying presented in a movie as well as it was in this, where your bullies aren't... I mean, there's the cliche where it's like there's the bully and that's like the guy that picks on everyone. But mm-hmm. often it's people that you're close with that are your friends, and it's just young people don't know how to interact with each other.
Right. No, that's true. That
so it's just
true.
These
that
girls bullying each other. Thing. Yeah.
But also still friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I watched The Wood for the first time. I saw you liked my Letterboxd review. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that a bunch of times.
Omar Epps, Tay Diggs, coming of age.
Yeah. Nice.
It's about a group of friends before one of them gets married, and they mm-hmm. Flash back to their early years in Inglewood.
Yeah.
Again, great sense of time and place. And mm-hmm. amazing. I guess great coming-of-age movies have to have good soundtracks. Or I guess that's a thing that happens when you set stories in the past. Music brings up that time. When they're transitioning between the timelines, they have the close-up on the records, on the vinyl, with the needle dropping. And then just the circle of the record transitions into the next segment. It's just perfect. And it's like you use music to transport you back to a time sometimes. Like you have those songs from your childhood where it's like you have that linked with an experience. And I thought this movie brought that out really well. Also, it's fucking hilarious.
It's really fucking funny.
It's so good.
It is. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Might be my favorite Tay Diggs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nice.
What else do I like from Tay Diggs? It might be my favorite Tay Diggs.
Stella got her groove back.
I haven't watched that yet.
Brown Sugar,
same director. I gotta watch that next.
Yeah.
The Woods directed by Rick Famuyiwa. I don't know mm-hmm. how to say his last name. He directed Dope, and for some reason I thought Dope was his first movie. So it's exciting that now I get to go back. The Wood, great. I think The Wood was his first one, and an excellent debut.
Yeah.
It's interesting that that was 1999, and it's taking for 2020 that now he's going to be, you know, he's working closely with Disney. I think he's getting a Star Wars movie or series.
Oh, man. Oh,
I know he directed a couple episodes of Mandalorian. Or maybe he's doing Marvel. I don't know. But he's getting commercial work now, which is cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't lose the edge that makes his I guess I've only seen Dope in the Wood, but both those are great.
Mm-hmm.
Two great coming of age movies.
Yeah, I love The Wood. I love The Wood. There's so many like memorable scenes in there. Like this the scene where he gets deer to touch the girl's butt, his crush butt, and he touches it, and then she beats the crap out of him.
Yeah, yep, yep.
And then he has to deal with her brother. Like, there are, like, major consequences for him.
Yeah, nothing that happens in that movie is easy for the main character. Just, like, any shit that can happen does happen.
Yeah.
But they have each other. They come out the other side. Yeah. And, yeah, it's hilarious, but also really strong dramatic moments.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I love that. One other movie I watched for the first time, Real Women Have Curves from 2002, starring America Ferrera, who is excellent in general and in this. This movie is very similar to Lady Bird. It hits a lot of the same beats, mm-hmm. with a big difference being that it's not about a skinny white girl. A bigger Latina. And so there's some cultural specificity to that. And for 2002, really, I think the body positivity messages really hold up, and some pretty touching scenes of women talking about their bodies and what they love about them. She was just a great character. And they did the whole drama between the daughter and the mother, and the daughter wants to go to college, and then the mother stops talking to the daughter, which we'll get to with Lady Bird. But this has, like, even more depth to it, because it's like she's the first one in her family to go to college. Her parents don't even want her to attend school.
Mm-hmm.
I
think this was like her first role, right? This was like the first time I ever saw America. I think I saw it back in 2002. I haven't watched it since. So I can't say much on it, but I remember liking it a lot.
Yeah.
And liking, yeah, the body positivity and just like how she felt about her body and how she, like, you know, grew to love her body in the end.
Yeah, there's a scene with her and the women she's working with where she starts, like, taking off her shirt, and they, like, go through, like, they all, like, get, like, down to the basics to, like, show off, like, stretch marks and stuff and why they love their bodies still. Yeah. And it's, yeah, I don't know. Really impressive, especially for 18 years ago. It's a shame more movies aren't like that. I mean, they touch on beauty standards or expectations in Lady Bird, just with her, like, comparing herself to women in magazines, but it definitely doesn't have the same effect. Then I rewatched a couple of my favorite coming of age movies, including Moonlight, but also Juno, which was another DVD I inherited from my sister. But unlike Bridget Jones's Diary, I'm not going to give
you're
this
gonna
one
keep
up.
It.
Oh, it's better than I remember. I've been wanting to rewatch it since we saw Jennifer's Body, which is also written by Diablo Cody.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny, and like the emotional stuff works. The quirkiness, like, that's the thing that lasts when you, like, think back to Juno, is, like, the hamburger phone, and she says, for shiz, and, like,
yeah,
Sarah says, wizard, and it's just, like, ridiculous. But it's, I don't know, it's a lot of personality, but I like it, and it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely benefited because I started watching it after I finished rewatching Boyhood, in which the main character has almost no personality. So it was kind of nice switching to Juno to be like, okay. Here we go. Though in Boyhood, I think it still works because it's supposed to be kind of vague. You're supposed to be able to project stuff onto the character. Boyhood, I think I've seen half a dozen times, and it still has this overwhelming effect on me by the end of the movie, just the accumulation of watching these actors grow up over 12 years and it being woven into the movie. Narratively, it has suffered a little bit with time, in my estimates. It's like almost 3 hours long.
Ooh.
Like a lot of it is like, yeah, that's life. Sometimes stuff doesn't happen. And it's like when Ethan Hawke shows up, the movie completely comes to life, but he's not in it the whole time because he's like the absent father.
Right.
Patricia Arquette is also excellent. Definitely deserved that Oscar. The kid just becomes an annoying weirdo. And it's like knowing.
And you really get to see him grow up into that.
Yeah, knowing Richard Linklater, I'm sure he was hoping this kid was going to grow up to be a baseball player based on his other movies about baseball players or like musicians. But no, it's just like an emo photographer. And it's very Texas and it's very heteromasculinity. So it's hard to tell if it knows what it's doing with that. Because there's like a lot of moments where, similar to Moonlight, the character is bullied, called a faggot and bullied. Unlike Moonlight, there's no part of the movie that suggests that he is actually gay.
Right.
So it's kind of just like, oh, I got called gay, and that's like the...
That's it. That's the extent of it.
Yeah. Okay. But... Yeah, it definitely presents a lot of male characters as just pigs, which is pretty accurate. Yeah, that's Boyhood. No, that might have been it.
That might have been it.
Did I watch anything else? That was it.
That was it. All right, nice. Nice. If you would recommend one movie out of those eight for me to watch, which one would you recommend?
I mean, Moonlight, right?
I mean,
you would love
one Moonlight. I haven't seen, right?
Wait, you haven't seen Juno?
No, I've seen Juno.
Okay,
I've seen it. I've definitely.
So I guess it. Is between Boyhood, The World of Us, and Almost Famous, then.
Yeah.
I'm not going to recommend Boyhood because it's long and very, very white. Very, very white in Texas. Texas white.
Fair.
I'm not sure you would enjoy that. I mean, Almost Famous is also very white, but it's not, like, pretending to be universal. I'm gonna go Almost Famous. It's more fun than The World of Us. Nice. World of Us is very just this very quiet drama. Though I guess you like those sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, Almost Famous has some fun performances in it.
Nice.
I don't think I mentioned that. Kate Hudson. She's excellent in that movie.
Also. Yeah, she's on the cover. She's
She's Penny Lane.
Is she the star of the movie? Like, is she like
she's the famous one? She's the female lead.
Okay.
Star is this kid. I don't know. Is he famous? I don't even know if I've seen him in anything else.
Okay.
Also, Billy Crudup is in it, and he's really good. Okay. That's it. So let's play the trailer for Lady Bird.
I hate California. I want to go to the East Coast.
I want to go where culture is, like New York.
How in the world did I raise such a
snob? Or at least Connecticut or New Hampshire, where writers live in the woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
You should just go to City College. You know, with your work ethic, just go to City College and then to jail and then back to City College and then maybe you'd learn to pull yourself up and not expect everybody to do everything.
Lady Bird, is that your given name?
Yeah.
Why is it in quotes?
I gave it to myself. It's given to me by me.
Lady Bird always says that she lives on the wrong side of the tracks, but I always thought that was like a metaphor. But there are actual train tracks.
What she did was very baller. It was very anarchist.
Put the magazine back! She has a big heart, your mom.
She's warm, but she's also kind of scary.
You can't be scary and warm.
I think you can. Your mom is.
So, you're not interested in any Catholic colleges?
No way. I want schools like Yale, but not Yale because I probably couldn't get in.
You definitely couldn't get in.
Does mom hate me?
If you're tired, we can sit down.
I'm not tired.
You were dragging your feet.
You are so infuriated.
Please stop yelling.
I'm not yelling. Oh, it's perfect.
Do you love it?
You both have such strong personalities.
When is a normal time to have sex?
You're having sex?
I'm ready. Just wanted it to be special.
Why? You're gonna have so much unspecial sex in your life.
We're afraid that we will never escape our past.
Whatever we give you, it's never enough. It's never enough.
It is enough.
We're afraid of what the future will bring. We're afraid we won't be loved.
You can't do anything unless you're the center of attention.
We won't be liked.
Yeah, well, you know your mom's tits, they're totally fake. She made one bad decision at 19. Two bad decisions.
And we won't succeed.
I want you to be the very best version of yourself that you can be.
What if this is the best version? What I'd really like is to be on Math Olympiad.
But math isn't something you're terribly strong in.
That we know of yet.
Lady Bird is a 2017 American coming-of-age comedy drama written and directed by Greta Gerwig in her solo directorial debut.
Nice debut.
Yeah, very strong debut. She like co-directed an indie movie years before this. Is also married, or not married, in a long-term romantic partnership with Noah Baumbach. Yeah. And they, you know, she co-wrote Frances Ha and Mistress America with him. He directed. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a surprise. Also, she got it's only $10 million budget. For some reason, I thought it was made for more money. It feels like an expensive indie movie. But, I mean, yeah, it's A24. Gotta love an A24 coming of age. This was your first time watching it, correct?
Yeah.
It was a running joke for a while that, like, I was gonna force you to watch Lady Bird.
Yeah.
It finally happened.
Yeah, it finally happened due to the podcast. Finally watched it.
Was it torture?
No, it wasn't torturous at all. It was quite nice. It was a weird little sandwich of a watching experience because of how we watched it. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed it, and there were certain parts that clicked with me as a viewer. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, you were thinking it was going to be unrelatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quirky white girl. 2002.
Yeah.
All right.
I vibe with it.
Yeah. I saw it in theaters and cried and rewatched it several times and cried. This week was the first, when I was rewatching it to take notes, I think was the first time I watched this movie without crying.
Mm-hmm.
So
I definitely got teary during the airport scene, like airport scenes tend to do that.
Yeah.
Like someone running through the airport, like running out of time, trying to see someone or catch someone. Like that's a good, like emotional, like, evoker, like, you know what I mean? Like, it really gets, like, it stirs you up because you're like, oh my goodness, are they going to catch him in time? Or are they like, what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a quick scene. It's a very quick scene. I think
the movie of quick scenes.
Yeah, I think that's maybe my biggest criticism of it is that it's very quick. It doesn't like sit long enough with some of the actors that I would like it sit with a little bit longer. But other than that, it was a home run.
No, I like the pacing. I think it zips by, and it's just generally fun throughout the whole time. And then it takes some detours where it just gets pretty emotional.
Yeah, there was some like longer moments of like the mom.
Just
a little bit like longer on the mom. Like it was like one scene real quick where she was like watching her sleep, but it was like so quick that I couldn't even tell what she was thinking. She just looked at her and I was just like, okay, well, I guess I can come to the conclusion that she's watching her daughter sleep in a loving way, but it doesn't stay there long enough for me to actually see that.
We'll get to that scene. It is right after she sews the dress and folds it and puts it on her daughter's bedroom. But yeah, we'll get into how Marion McPherson shows her love language, which is care, I guess. All right, let's start.
Yeah.
We start with a quote from Joan Didion, the writer from Sacramento. Anybody who talks about California hedonism has never spent a Christmas in Sacramento. I forgot about this quote when I picked this for Thanksgiving week, because there is a Christmas scene as well as a Thanksgiving scene. So
yeah, it's a bit of both.
Yeah, it's not really either, but it covers the whole year.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely have an image of California, and this movie sets out to dispel the rumors, at least in terms of Sacramento, which is a pretty unglamorous city.
Right.
We open on Lady Bird and Marion sleeping, mother and daughter, sharing a bed. Face to face, kind of like mirror images. Very peaceful.
Very nice.
The most peaceful those two will be for the whole movie. It's just in the beginning when they're both unconscious.
Yeah. And like a little bit of that car ride when they were both the next scene where they're listening to the Grapes of Wrath. They're listening, they're finishing up that audiobook, and they're both like crying. And they're both sharing in this experience, but then the experience is over and the mom kind of wants to just sit and that feeling,
like,
but Lady Bird she wants to sit in it just a little bit longer, but Lady Bird is like, nah, we're gonna play some music, we're gonna move on to the next thing. And that's the first bit of conflict, and it just escalates from there.
Yeah, she just wants her daughter to sit with it, but then her daughter's like makes a fuss and like folds her arms, and there's this look that she gives her daughter where she realizes like, yeah, she's agreeing, but also she's being such a brat.
Yeah.
That comes out. So we learn that they were on a college road trip visiting colleges. We learn that it's 2002.
Yeah, I like how they just put that in there. The only great thing about 2002 is that it's a palindrome.
Yeah. Lady Bird wants to live through something, and she wants to be where culture is.
And, yeah.
She's like just
New York.
Looking at the green grass on the other side.
It's
her whole deal.
Mm-hmm. She's a dreamer, and her mom is like a realist.
Mm-hmm.
Like too real.
Yeah. Just to always the point worrying where about she's money. Just.
Yeah, she's kind of like putting her daughter down, kind of like, you know, I don't think you're good enough for New York, or like for the New York schools, or she's like putting her down, like, I don't think you're good enough, and also we don't have the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she doesn't call her Lady Bird, actually. She calls her Christine.
Right.
And she just keeps on yapping, and Lady Bird is like, hey, call me Lady Bird like you said you would, and she doesn't. She just keeps on talking, but like in this like negative tone. And so Lady Bird she just tucks and rolls out of the car.
Yep. And then the next scene is or the next shot is just it cuts to hot pink cast that says "fuck you, mom" on it.
Yeah.
And then we get our opening credits and we just start moving. The opening credits, we get little glimpses at Lady Bird's life at Immaculate Heart, or Immaculate Fart, as Lady Bird calls it, because she is not a fan. Do you remember doing the Pledge of Allegiance every day at school?
I remember doing it in, like...
It's so fucked up, like, that we had to do
that. Second grade. Yeah, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it's a really fucked up thing that we had to do.
It is.
Every day, let's indoctrinate our children by making them pledge allegiance to the U.S. flag.
Yeah. That stopped in high school, though. Like, I didn't have to do it in high school. I remember. I don't know about you.
I can't remember. If we did, I probably didn't pay attention to it. I was probably finishing up my homework for that day.
True.
We get to see a bit of the election speeches for class president.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Bird is running. We don't see Lady Bird's speech, though.
No.
Which is, you know, you can dream about what Lady Bird said. Apparently, the original script was, like, super long. And she cut it down significantly. So I imagine
there was a speech.
Greta Gerwig has somewhere Lady Bird's speech. Yeah. We see some of her classes. She takes Spanish and math and, I don't know, faith, whatever class you take at Catholic schools with a nun.
Yeah. Probably church period, I guess, because they were all in there and the preacher was preaching.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're indirectly introduced to Julie just because she's by Lady Bird's side in all these scenes. It's implied that they're close friends, played by Beanie Feldstein.
Mm-hmm.
Opening credits end with a meeting with Sister Sarah Joan, who is disturbed with Lady Bird's election posters because it's
pretty cool posters.
Yeah, bird head on a human body, or vice versa.
Yeah.
She explains that she doesn't have any intention of winning. She just does it as a tradition.
Yeah, every year.
Because she's a quirky main character.
Yeah.
She's encouraged to join theater arts because of her performative streak.
Yeah. And Lady Bird was like, how have I been here for 4 years and not known that we do a musical and a play in the fall? In the spring, and, you know, the sister's just like, well, you haven't been an active member of this community.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does her own thing. I just wanted to stop us for a second just to point out for the people watching, they can see I'm drinking from a Coca-Cola cup, and it is, in fact, Coca-Cola. Just want to let you know the intense product placement in last week's Two Can Play That Game definitely had an effect on me. And I bought I bought 2 liters of Coca-Cola.
You bought a big, a nice one. not a can.
Yeah, no, just like the movie wanted me to.
Years later, 19 years later.
Yeah, it was a good investment on Coca-Cola's part. Okay, back to Lady Bird. Next scene is Lady Bird signing up for the auditions, along with Julie. Lady Bird signs up as Christine, quote, Lady Bird McPherson, and Julie signs in as Julia, quote, Julie Steffens.
Yeah.
And there's a disagreement about whether or not Julie needs to be in quotes. And it's really just Lady Bird wanting to be special.
Yeah, she wants to be different.
She's got the dyed hair and the attitude and the nickname that she gave herself.
Yeah, a nickname that she actually just wants to be her name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I can see why she's like kind of like upset with Julie, because Julie is like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah,
like Julie would be like a shorthand. Lady Bird is like a stage name. It's completely different.
Yeah. But it makes sense that Julie would want to have Julie on the audition sheet, because that is the name that she goes by, not Julianne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Then the next scene is after school.
At, yeah, they're at her brother's, Miguel's job.
First, there's a little sequence, just because it does move really fast, but and it's okay. It's quick, but we have the sequence of Julia and Lady Bird walking around the neighborhood called the 40s, which are very large houses. And they stop in front of a large blue house and imagine what their lives would be if they lived in this giant house.
Yeah. And how they would have friends over after school all the time. Yeah.
Just picturing their lives. If their lives were different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all this is, I think this is the only time I'll bring it up. Just John Bryan's score for this movie. In this scene especially, it's either an oboe or a clarinet, but I just love it. I just love it. And I think John Bryan's a really talented composer. And also his posthumous Mac Miller album that came out earlier this year is definitely one of my favorites of the year.
Oh, that's this guy.
Yeah, it's this guy. He did arrangements on Late Registration as well. And he scored Lady Bird.
Nice.
A couple other movies. So yeah, and then we meet Miguel and Shelley, Lady Bird's brother and his live-in girlfriend, at the grocery store where they work.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady Bird and Jules are just being annoying teenagers.
Yeah, reading the magazines and being in the way, kind of.
Yeah, Miguel's yelling at her, and then Shelley's just giving this death stare.
Yeah.
They're just being inconsiderate. And then that scene is immediately followed up with a scene of showing how Marion is the exact opposite. We see her compassion and empathy in the form of her giving a gift to a coworker who is a new father.
Yeah. And then maybe something she made.
Yeah, there's this cute thing where she's like leaving and she's saying to him, okay, so long. I mean, later, like to try to use like his language. It's just...
Yeah.
They definitely we only get to spend a little bit of time with Marion, as you pointed out, but I feel like there's so many details in all of her little pieces that just give a sense of her life. And in this next moment, you just have her driving home, just taking in the sights of Sacramento while this song plays. And then the song ends immediately when she parks outside her house and slams the door. It's like on the door slam, the music stops. And it's kind of like you get the sense that that drive was really Marion's only moment of peace in her day. The song stops and she slams the door, and then she's in the house where she's taking on mostly every role. We do meet Larry McPherson, played by Tracy Letts. Something I like about, I mean, she's only done two movies now, but with Greta Gerwig's casting, she does this thing where she'll cast these guys that usually play these very powerful men, very intimidating actors or characters that these actors usually take on. But with Tracy Letts in this and Chris Cooper in Little Women just being a complete softy, I like how she casts against type. Because Larry is just a sad sack.
He is. He is. Yeah. Understandably so. I figured the bathroom is also a place where you can get a moment of privacy. Because they're both in there. Mom and dad are both in there.
Yeah, it's cute. She's reading the paper on the toilet while he brushes his teeth.
Yeah.
Talking about someone they knew who died in their 40s or something.
Yeah, way too young.
Yeah.
And also they question whether Miguel and Shelley are having sex on the sofa.
Yeah, Larry says, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they just laugh about it. They're cool parents.
Yeah.
Even if Lady Bird doesn't see it, which she doesn't. The next scene is breakfast, and Lady Bird is just complaining about her mom's eggs and also not being nice to Shelley, who's upset because she thinks Lady Bird doesn't like her.
Yeah. But also, they're trying to be vegan. Like, Miguel and Shelley are trying to be vegans. That's why they got the soy milk. But they wear vintage leather jackets.
Yeah, but they're vintage, so.
They're not participating.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely. A lot of the characters in this movie are shown to be hypocrites. And I like that because that's what humans are. We have these values. and these ideas of ourselves, and then sometimes our actions contradict that.
Yeah.
Now, Dad's going to be driving Lady Bird to school, listening to Hand in My Pocket by Alanis Morissette, which she wrote in 15 minutes, and Larry can believe it.
He said, yeah,
believe that.
I believe it. She asks her dad, she makes an inquiry about her dad helping her fill out financial aid forms.
Yeah, to
and not go to tell mom that she's doing it. Yeah.
Her mom wants her to stay in state.
Mm-hmm.
Barely afford in state tuition as it is, but Lady Bird has bigger dreams.
Yeah.
And her dad agrees.
And if anyone's gonna help her, it's gonna be her dad.
Mm-hmm. And then Lady Bird has him stop the car about a block away from school so that she can walk and not be dropped off by her dad, because she's probably embarrassed by him and their car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we meet Julie's uncle, Matt, who is not a real uncle, just something she's trying out. Just the guy who plays David Wallace in The Office dating Julie's mom.
Yeah, that's a weird one to call your mom's boyfriend uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
Yeah. He makes Julie lunch, but she gives it to Lady Bird,
who
then has two lunches. And then they both complain about their weight.
Yeah.
This movie talks a little bit about, like, the thoughts that go through teenage girls' minds in terms of their bodies, but it's not body positive at all in the way that real women have curves is.
Mm-hmm.
But we are introduced to the character of Jenna Waltman, the hot popular girl, rich hot popular girl with a giant car, like a cube. Was
like
it a Land
Rover?
Range Rover?
Yeah. A gas guzzler.
Yeah, and they're talking about how they heard she has a tanning bed in her house. We should try tanning. Yeah.
They
want to be her.
They want to be her. Yeah, they're not speaking negative on her, besides maybe her car. But yeah, no, they definitely want to be her.
Yeah. Our next is one of my favorites. It's Lady Bird and Jules eating, what are they called, communion wafers?
Yeah. Commune crackers, wafers, crackers, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just talking about masturbation.
Yeah.
And it's shot because they're like lying down on the carpet with their legs against the wall.
Yeah.
So it's shot from above, so they're like upside down with the carpet as the backdrop. I just like that composition.
Mm-hmm.
And then
a girl walks. Darlene. She's like, she's like, you're not supposed to eat the crackers. And they're like, it's not consummated.
Consecrated, yeah.
Consecrated.
Yeah, then it's not Jesus yet, so it's okay. Yeah.
That's funny that the body of Jesus is just in a container.
Yeah, right. Then it's auditions for the musical.
Which
start with a kid singing Being Alive, which is funny because the movie Noah Baumbach made afterwards, Marriage Story, features Adam Driver singing that same song at the end, but in earnest. But in Lady Bird, it's just like dumb high schoolers trying out for a play.
Great.
This is one where I especially like the editing, because we don't see anyone's full audition. It's just, I'd say, less than 10 seconds each. Just clips. Lady Bird's song is very goofy. She prepared a whole thing.
Yeah, and she did great too. I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna see more of that." Like, she
really?
I think she did.
She was
great.
Into it.
She was definitely like committed.
The scene wasn't great. The voice was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's contrasted with Julie's, who isn't as showy, but pretty touching performance, which is. She's like visibly uncomfortable on stage, like fidgeting with her fingers, but still singing beautifully.
Yeah, and it's an acapella. Like, she didn't sing the piano at all. So. True.
And I like the reaction shot to kind of show the audience Julie's talented is with Father Levitch, played by the great Stephen Henderson. Jason.
Yeah. It was nice to see him.
Yeah, it's this reaction shot where his face just, like, softens, like, very quickly. He has a very minor character in this movie, but one of my favorite performances. Probably, like, one of my favorite, like, minor character performances in a movie.
Yeah.
Partly the way it's written, and also definitely Stephen Henderson brings so much warmth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Other notable addition is Danny, played by Lucas Hedges.
Yeah.
Singing Giants in the Sky. They're all singing Stephen Sondheim songs. They're trying out for a Sondheim play. And yeah, the reaction shot for this is Julie and Lady Bird both looking at each other like, oh, who's this guy?
Oh, yeah, who's this guy? Who's this cutie? This voice.
Yeah.
The stage presence.
Yeah, it's exciting for them because they go to the all-girls school, but the theater is done as a partnership with the boys.
Yeah.
At Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to Lady Bird writing Danny on her wall.
Yeah.
Super quick shot. Just she writes Danny on the wall. There's this music, like bells or something. And then we just hear Marion yelling to turn off her lights and go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Julie got the lead.
The next scene is the casting list.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this was would happen. Where I thought I was like Lady Bird did good in her audition, but she only got put in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only got put in the chorus because everyone who auditions gets a role, pretty much.
Yeah. Lady Bird's jealous that Julie gets to be romantic with Danny on stage, even though Julie says it's really my only chance.
Yeah, she's like, it's probably my only chance.
Julie's such a sweetheart. And Lady Bird's just mad. She crosses Christine out on the list, writes really big Lady Bird, and then storms off.
Yeah.
And I like this little moment we get. We just are left with Julie just for like a couple seconds where she just looks at the cast list again and like puts her hand on it to just like take it in.
Yeah.
The sweetheart.
Yes.
Then we're back at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Lady Bird wants to buy a magazine because she wants to read it in bed. But Marion says that's something rich people do. We're not rich people.
Yeah.
So she's actually
she's actually going to steal it. We see her putting it in her shirt. Mm-hmm. And then as she's doing that, someone's like, stop. So she's thinking she's been caught.
Yeah.
She looks over and it's Danny just messing around with his younger brother.
Yeah. We see a couple of his siblings. We learn he's from a big Irish Catholic family. Lots of kids. Lady Bird introduces herself. They shake hands.
She's very straightforward.
Yeah, he asks if she lives around here. And she says, no, I'm from the wrong side of the tracks.
It's what?
Yeah. And he says for the play, he wants his hair, his character's hair, to be curly like Jim Morrison. And Lady Bird says, yeah, that's a great idea. And then runs to Miguel at checkout to ask who Jim Morrison is.
Yeah.
And when he says it's the lead singer of the Doors, Lady Bird says, I knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
So
the next day, she, unless I'm skipping something.
No, just like at checkout, Marion's just amazed at how expensive the bill is.
Oh, yeah.
Employee discount, which I'm sure is something you can relate to as someone discount at a grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be like, yeah, this is with the discount? Like,
right. Theater games is the next thing I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some moves, and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they play First One to Cry Wins.
Yeah.
And it's Father Leviatt who ends up winning.
Cause it takes no time. Yeah.
And I wrote down
something is right on his chest.
Yeah. I wrote down the line that follows this scene because it's another one of my favorites.
Mm hmm.
It cuts to Danny and Lady Bird and some other girl, some other classmate, just sitting on a ledge outside. And the girl says, I heard that before he became a priest, he was married and had a son named Etienne who died at 17 of a drug overdose, which maybe was a suicide. But my mom says same difference if you're that careless with your life. And then it's beep, beep. Oh, that's her. Gotta go. Bye, guys.
Yeah. Just how like, yeah, how quick that is and just how like she's just repeating her mom.
Yeah, just terrible attitude. But also reveals some stuff about the character of Father Levaich. All of the minor characters, or a lot of them, start out as just like two-dimensional jokes, but then over the course of the movie are even just in little ways just like deepened.
Mm-hmm.
Just with some little background that we get, and I like that about this. So now Danny and Lady Bird are going to flirt. Or the version of flirting.
Yeah, she gives him a roller set.
Yeah.
For his hair.
Yeah. I wrote down that Danny's wearing a puka shell necklace, because that's very 2002.
Oh, man, I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
He shares that he had a dream about him and Lady Bird, where they rode a carrot, a flying carrot to Disneyland. And he loves Disneyland. Lady Bird thinks Disneyland is scary.
She says, I also love it. Well, I think it's scary, but yeah. I love it too. But you get the sense that maybe she doesn't love it. She's just pretending.
Yeah.
Get a guy to like her. Then it's math class. And Julie has a crush on Mr. Bruno, the math teacher.
Yeah, it's very clear. Because she's like the only one participating in the class.
Yeah, she's pretty into it.
Yeah.
I think we just get the hint of that in that scene. And then we cut to homecoming dance, which is cowboy themed.
Yeah.
And Lady Bird and Julie are decked out in Western attire and just going nuts, dancing, just jumping up and down and just
dancing to Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony, which is really funny to me. Because it's just not like it's not a dance song.
No.
It's a funeral song, you know? You even played at a cowboy social.
So, they're just going crazy. And then you cut to Jenna Walton and her friends, who, big contrast, they're just wearing Daisy Dukes and tank tops that say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. And then their version of dancing is just standing in a circle and they're all swaying.
Yeah.
Lady Bird sees Danny and they dance. And then
For Jesus.
Right, 6 feet apart.
6 feet apart.
Lady Bird lies about being picked up by her mom. She had plans to sleep over Julie's house, but she lies to get to spend more time with Danny. And it works because she gets her first kiss.
Yeah.
There's this cute thing where he says, I still don't know how to use the rollers. So she like plays with his hair and then their heads are close.
Yeah, and they just go for it, yeah.
And then there's an adorable shot of Lady Bird just running down the street and then screaming in euphoria.
Yeah.
Which is then immediately she's taken down a peg when she gets home. Her parents not expecting her home that night because she was supposed to sleep over Julie's house. So she's sneaking in, and we see Marion and Larry are at the table going over finances.
Something very serious.
Sobering moment, And
whatever.
Larry says to leave it, but Marion decides she's got to talk to Lady Bird.
Yeah, like whatever stress she's feeling because of like their financial status, she like takes it out on her daughter. Like she just picks a fight.
Yeah.
For seemingly no reason, really. Yeah.
Well, she explains herself. She feels very strongly about their appearance in the community because they have less money than other people in their city.
Yeah, and you can't look like trash.
Can't look like trash.
Affects your father's potential to get hired.
He lost trash. She tells Lady Bird, "Your father lost his job. Can't look like trash." Lady Bird just had this great moment and is now just being yelled at by her mom and says, don't you wish your mom ever didn't yell at you? And Marion says, my mother was an abusive alcoholic. Kind of shuts that conversation down.
Yeah, kind of shuts it down. Like, it could be way worse because it was worse for me. Like, what I'm giving you is a blessing compared to what I got. Yeah. So.
Next scene
Tough love.
Yeah. Next scene is Lady Bird with a college counselor going over her pretty bad grades.
Yeah.
But surprisingly good test scores.
Mm-hmm.
So she might be able to get into some places.
Yeah, she's like yeah, I want to get into those schools, like Yale, but definitely not Yale because I can't get into those schools. And she just laughs at her like, yeah, you're definitely not getting into Yale. I'm just keeping it real with you.
Yeah, right. Very fast clip just of more rehearsal right into Danny and Lady Bird's blossoming romance.
Yeah.
Playing in a field.
As they lay under the stars together, looking at each other and not the stars for this moment. She offers him to make physical contact with her.
Because he can touch on her boobs.
She's like, yeah, you can touch my boobs. And he's like, you know, I respect you so much that I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, and then it leads into, I respect you so much, you know why? Because I love you. And it's just kind of yikes because they're just throwing around words that I don't think they fully understand what they mean.
No.
But, you know, young love, it's exciting. Hormones.
Yeah. And she agrees. She's like, yeah, I respect you so much that if you had boobs, I wouldn't touch them either.
Yeah, and then the next scene just starts in the middle of a conversation, Lady Bird just saying, it's normal not to touch a penis.
Yeah.
And then Julie has to run off to class, and Lady Bird's left alone.
They also name a star.
Right, Bruce.
Yeah, that's important because it comes back a little later.
True. Yeah, they pick a star. And it's not the bright one, it's the one next to the bright one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now Lady Bird has some time alone, and she sneaks into the math classroom, steals the grade book, and dumps it.
Yeah.
She's a bad girl.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to lift her grades to get into college.
Yeah, anything she can do at this point. Mm-hmm. In the next scene, Mom and Lady Bird are thrift shopping for a Thanksgiving dress. We learned that Lady Bird is not going to spend this Thanksgiving with her family. She's going to spend it with Danny's.
Yeah, Marion's pretty hurt by that.
Yeah.
It's her daughter's last Thanksgiving, and she's spending it with some other people.
Yeah, and she's kind of being passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
About her.
Are you tired? Her mood. You're picking up your feet.
Yeah, because you're dragging your feet.
You're dragging your feet.
And she's just like, why don't you just ask me? Why are you being passive aggressive about it? And yeah. And like they're doing like this really, I like the scene because it's like this really like quit bickering back and forth where they're kind of talking over each other, and then they find the dress and they're just like, oh my god, it's perfect.
Yeah, right? Just on a dime, the bickering ends and they're just agreeing on something, and yeah, it feels very real.
Yeah,
those kinds of relationships. And then we see Marion up at night sewing. Folding the dress, leaving it in Lady Bird's room, and then I wrote in my notes, gazes lovingly at her daughter, but I guess you had to.
I guess, I didn't feel it in that moment. She just looked at her, and then it cuts away real quick.
Yeah, I think, like, even though Marion's upset that her daughter is not going to be with them for Thanksgiving, she's still staying up late to sew the dress so she looks good, and she folds it. The way that she shows love is the thing she does for Lady Bird.
Right. Is it attention?
Yes.
Okay.
So now math class, Mr. Bruno doesn't have grades, so he insists that the students tell him what their grades were. Honor system.
Yeah. Honor system.
Julie undersells her grade. She says A minus. He says, I think it was more like an A. And she says, if you say so.
You say so.
And he says, I know talent when I see it. And she says, she's like, thank you. You're welcome. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's awkward. And then Lady Bird oversells her grade. She says B, when maybe it was a B minus or even C plus.
C. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, no, I did well on my last test, so that brings me back up to a B. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, I'll give you a B. So she gets her grade.
Says it, but it's your honor. And then, yeah.
Yeah. She has no honor.
Now it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Thanksgiving.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving. Yes.
Danny shows up to Lady Bird's house.
Mm-hmm.
I just like I like the dad joke of him saying, please call me Mr. Larry McPherson.
Yeah.
Lady Bird wants to make an entrance, so Danny has a couple moments with the other members of her family alone.
Yeah, I love that, because Miguel's like, yeah, she wants to make an entrance. She's mad we don't have a spiral staircase.
Oh, yeah.
I can see the moment that she's trying to create, that she's all that moment.
Shelly just whispers her name. She just says, Shelly. Danny says, what? And then we cut back to Shelly. Shelly, my name's Shelly. He says, okay.
That's my name.
Shelly's a great example.
And then he brings up...
I was just going to say, Shelly's a great example of what I was talking about earlier, where for the first few parts, and especially in that moment, she's like in danger of just being a complete just caricature, just a joke. Yeah, yeah, just the quiet goth
girl. Kid. Yeah. She does develop.
But she has some scenes later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that add depth to the character.
And Danny mentions how Lady Bird used to say that she's from the wrong side of the tracks. And he thought that she was joking, but then he actually saw the tracks. And then you could see, like, in her face that Lady Bird's mom, she's not. She's kind of taken back by that comment. Yeah, because she knows Lady Bird is, like, dead serious about being from, like, a bad part of town or whatever. And then Lady Bird comes out. She comes out very quickly.
Yeah.
Kind of rushes him. And he's just like, yeah, let's go.
Turns out Danny's grandma's house is the big blue house in the 40s.
It's the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Ronald Reagan poster in the house, and Lady Bird sees it and laughs and says, is that a joke? And Danny just says, no.
No.
Like, yep.
Yeah.
She folds napkins in a special way and feels accepted by that family.
Yeah.
And then that night, getting together with her theater friends, driving around singing the songs from their play, being very annoying.
Yes.
They smoke a joint, and they go to a concert.
Yeah.
This is where we meet Kyle, played by Timothée Chalamet.
She gets the gander. She lays her eyes on him.
The shot of Kyle on the bass, and then the shot of Lady Bird seeing Kyle, and then
I was like, that spells trouble.
Yeah. Also, Julie's got the love interest because Mr. Bruno was at the play at the show for some reason, and Julie's wondering where's his wife.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a wife.
Yep.
Then Munchies hit. And I just love that it's Real Big Fish playing just ska, which definitely goes with high school theater kids smoking weed. And they're just snickering, watching the microwave. And when Mary walks in.
I really like that shot of them watching the microwave.
Mm. Yeah, it's just the microwave meals stacked on each other.
Yeah.
And they can't interact with Marion.
No, yeah, they're giggling so much. He comes in, it's just like, hi, guys. And they're just like, we can't do this. We can't talk right now.
Then the friends leave, and Lady Bird's left outside with Shelly, who's smoking a clove, who tells Lady Bird what a clove is, why it looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the scene I was talking about earlier, because Shelly really defends Marion and says, your mom was upset that you weren't there for Thanksgiving. She really loves you. I think she's a great woman. She took me in when my parents freaked out about premarital sex.
Yeah.
I really admire her.
Yeah. So it was great to hear it. We see a bit of it but also what we've seen so far, so much conflict between Lady Bird and her mother, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it is opening night, and my note is, oh God, it's terrible.
Oh God, it's terrible. It's you so get, cringy.
You get no sense also, that it's going to be like that. And then it
but
is.
But also, like, I've been in a show like this.
With the red, blue, and yellow with, solid t-shirts.
With just, like, because, like, I did a show we had with solid shirts, but it was, like, 80s. And so we, like, cut up the shirts and did, like, all type of designs. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. I just got all the feels and just, like, I was like, oh, this is so nasty. This is disgusting. But, like, in the best way. Just, like, nostalgia, yeah. But also, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad high school show.
High school musical theater. Yeah.
Which is really funny because... It's Merrily We Roll Along, which Richard Linklater, who did Boyhood and filmed that over 12 years, his next project in a similar vein, he's going to be adapting Merrily We Roll Along, filming it over 20 years, mm-hmm. and it's going to star Beanie Feldstein, who played that role in the show in Lady Bird, and is now going to be doing it for real that we won't get to see for 20 years.
Damn.
So that'll be interesting, revisiting this once that comes out. Then after the show, there's some heartbreak. Beanie meets Mr. Bruno's pregnant wife, which explains why she wasn't around before. She's kind of heartbroken, and she goes and sits down next to Father Leviat, who has this moment where he just says, they didn't understand it.
Didn't get it. They didn't see the vision.
And then you get theater kids just being shitheads at a diner.
Yeah, cast party. Yeah. You know what I mean? These were great. And yeah, they're just throwing fries. I'm just like, oh my
shouting,
goodness. They're terrible. Yeah. Someone's going to have to clean this up, guys.
It's not them.
No.
There's a long bathroom line. So Lady Bird decides to go into the men's room. But she slings the stall open, and there is Danny making out with a male castmate.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Julie and Lady Bird both in Julie's car with the front seats back, and the shot is from above, and they're listening to Crash by Dave Matthews Band, just in tears, because they both had their hearts broken.
Singing out their heartbreak.
Yeah. And then
next is Small Christmas.
I have a couple notes before that. Just the next scene, we see the curtain call of, I guess, the next performance. And as a change, Lady doesn't want to hold hands with Danny as they take their bow. And then that's kind of the end of Act One of the movie. And I really like that the act change is punctuated with a short sequence of Lady Bird's cast being taken off. There's a very satisfying cracking noise when he, like, cracks it off. And then followed by a shot of dumping it in the trash can. It's just like... crack, dump very quickly, and like those sounds just like fresh start. Here's Act Two. And we get the small Christmas. Moisture wicking socks are the bounty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the novelty.
And everyone's being really nice, and it's not dysfunctional at all. You know, it feels like Christmas, even though it's small.
I like this moment. The pillow Marion got for her husband says, golfers never diet, they just exist on greens, which is just, it's dumb. But Marion's just cracking up, and she says, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's nice. This whole time, the Nutcracker music is playing. And then it continues to the next scene, which is just Lady Bird in her bedroom, sitting in front of the mirror, petting her dog. Like, probably, like, picturing herself as, like, this movie star, or, like, it's just... super wealthy woman, just I don't know. And then there's a knock on her door, and she clicks off music, and it turns out she was actually listening to the Nutcracker music that we had been hearing, like that. And it's her dad. She knew it was her dad because mom doesn't knock.
Yeah.
And he's giving her the filled out financial aid applications.
Yeah, best Christmas gift.
And next scene is her running to the post office to drop her off. While she's doing that, we hear the New Year's Eve countdown, And then on Happy New Year, it cuts to Sparklers.
Yeah.
Which is when I noticed that both of my picks this week feature just white people with sparklers.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. That's a thing. Now Lady Bird's working at a coffee shop.
Yep.
And just with the pace of this movie, it just zips along. You never have a scene with, like, Lady Bird, you need to get a job or anything. It's just very quickly, quick bit of the manager teaching her how to use the coffee machine. And it's just...
That's okay, enough info.
She's working there now.
Yeah.
And she spots Kyle sitting outside reading.
Yeah.
So she approaches him.
Yep. And we know that when Lady Bird likes someone, she will walk right up to them. So
yeah,
she walks right
confident.
Up to Kyle. Yeah, and starts making conversation.
Hands.
Yeah.
Holds her hand a little long. It lingers.
Oh, weird. You shake hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says, "I saw your band." Mm-hmm. L'Enfance Nue, and then he corrects her. L'Enfance Nue.
L'Enfance Nue. Like real quick.
Which Lady Bird has a type. We didn't mention it. Danny takes French. He originally wanted the star named Claude because it's French.
Yeah.
So I guess she likes guys that speak French.
French.
She lies about being friends with Jenna because she knows that he's friends with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
He says, "Maybe I'll see you at the Deuce sometime." So she says, "Yeah." Your manager calls her out for flirting. She says, "I wasn't flirting." And he says, "I wish you had been." So now Danny is crossed out on the bedroom wall and Kyle is written next to it. Because that is the new love interest.
Yeah.
Next scene.
We hear Jenna talking about the first time that she did it with her boyfriend.
Yeah, interrupted by an emergency phone call from her mom.
Yeah.
Lady Bird interjects herself into the conversation asking, "What was it, an emergency?" And she's, or "Did you end up picking up?" And Jenna's like, "Yeah, it was so awkward." And then Julie tries to enter the conversation asking, what was the emergency?
Yeah.
And like, everyone's like snickering, just completely halt. And it's just like, who is
like,
this?
What? Yeah. Going? Like,
yeah. Turns out the emergency was that her great aunt died.
Yeah.
Julie says, "Sorry for your loss." And Jenna says, "It's okay. She kind of did it to herself. I don't know why you do that if you're already so old," which is another line that I love. What do you picture when you hear that line?
I don't know.
Like, I always picture an old woman jumping out of a plane.
Yeah.
I always picture that. I mean, it's probably not that, but yeah, it's a fun line.
Right.
Then Sister Sarah Joan comes by for a skirt check, and Jenna fails. Her skirt is too short. Lady Bird has a plan to get her back, even though Julie says, "You like Sister Sarah Joan," and Lady Bird says, "Yeah,
but she's a cunt." Yeah, but she's a cunt.
Just disparaging people.
She's just trying to like fit in, seem cool, and she comes up with this prank.
Yeah, it's the same day as the auditions for the spring play, but Lady Bird decides that she's not going to be in it this semester.
Yeah.
So instead, she's pranking Sister Sarah Joan by putting "Just Married to Jesus" on her car.
Yeah, pretty harmless.
Mm-hmm. The scenes with Lady Bird and Jenna after school are intercut with Julie at play practice. And there's been some changes. Father Levyich isn't returning to direct. It's now the JV football coach. Play is a play.
He's going to treat it like a playbook. Like a football playbook with X's and O's.
Yeah. Back in the parking lot, Jenna's asking where Lady Bird lives. And she lies, saying that she lives in the 40s in that blue house. And Jenna says, "That's where my starter home was."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's like, Jenna's like, "Hey, do you want to go there after after school or whatever? For lunch or whatever?" And she's like, "Actually, no, we should go to the Deuce." Try and steer her away from that.
Yeah, let's deuce it up. So they end up going from one parking lot to another because the Deuce is a parking lot, which... a good amount of my high school was hanging out in parking lots also. I get that.
Mine was hanging out in the lunchroom or hanging out in the music room, really.
Right. Lady Bird has some time with Kyle.
I like the start of their conversation when they, because Jenna is like, yo, we just pulled a prank on the sisters. And then he's like,
oh, that's hella tight. Cool.
That's hella
tight. He says, that's hella tight.
And she, I forget what she says. And he's like, yeah, I won't snitch on you. And she goes, you better not, or I'll fucking kill your family.
Yeah,
and she says, so good and so convincing that he's just like, what?
Yeah, and then he's like, well, my dad has cancer, so I guess God's doing that for us.
Yeah, it just gets worse.
Yeah, for Kyle, the depth that his character gets is that he has a dad with dying of cancer.
Yeah. Which
I guess is thin, but it does suggest a bigger life for this character beyond just being a fuckboy.
Yeah. Oh, he's hardcore fuckboy.
Oh, yeah. He's a very specific kind of fuckboy who, when he gets Lady Bird's phone number and learns that it's his parents' phone number, he says, you don't have a cell phone? Good girl.
Good girl.
Government doesn't need to give us tracking devices. We buy it ourselves.
And he's dead serious, too.
Convinced they'll be in our brain soon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like he's dry and insightful and just, like, he's a real, like, real smart ass, kind of.
Then at the cafe, Danny shows up to try to talk to Lady Bird, who avoids him by going out back to take out the trash, but he follows her.
Yeah. And at first, she's real confrontational.
She's mean.
Yeah, she's really upset about it. And he is more so scared about being outed by her.
He's from a strict Irish Catholic family.
Yeah.
He's very worried about how he's going to tell his parents that he's gay.
Yeah.
Very ashamed of himself.
Shame, yeah.
And once he starts crying, Lady Bird softens up and is supportive, gives him a big hug.
Yeah.
He kind of collapses into her.
Yeah.
Acting moment. And then, whereas early in the movie, her getting yelled at the supermarket was followed by Marion being compassionate. And this time it's Lady Bird is being nice to someone and empathetic. Mm-hmm. And then it's followed by Marion. We see that we get a little bit of her at work. She works at the psych hospital and she's doing an intake with Father Levyich.
Mm-hmm.
Is experiencing depression.
Yeah. And we don't really get much out of that. Like, we're kind of just dropped in and like the end of it pretty much. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like the middle with like no details of like what he's experiencing or why he's experiencing it.
You get hints like with the line about his son dying of a drug overdose.
Yeah. But like, I don't know if that's like the truth to his character. That's just like, he's like hearsay pretty much. We don't get any confirmation.
Yeah, no, we don't know exactly.
We just know that he's
experiencing
like
depression.
Yeah, he's depressed,
going through it. Next is just very quickly Ash Wednesday, get in the ashes, and we just hear, remember, you are dust and to dust you will return, which is definitely a Christian. Did Jesus say that? I don't know, but I like it. I like that line. It's important to remember that we're dust and we'll be dust again.
Yeah.
Puts things into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Lady Bird was being very compassionate with Danny earlier, she's still on this path to just being just the worst.
Nasty. Yeah. This next scene.
Oh, yeah.
She's
mad because she doesn't get into the only state school she gets into is Davis, which is close and she looks down on.
And yeah.
She's mad because Miguel got into Berkeley. She didn't even get into Berkeley.
Yeah.
And she accuses him of getting in only because of his race.
Yeah.
And he says, "You're actually fucking evil." And then she screams right into the camera.
Yeah.
Being a monster.
She's a monster.
And then
she's terrible.
Yeah, and then at Jenna's house party, giant house for Jenna. Mm-hmm. Cry Me a River playing.
Yeah.
And Kyle's in the back, smoking his hand-rolled cigarettes.
I like that shot of Kyle when he's just, like, in the shadow and he's only being lit by the pool. You, like, mm-hmm. barely see him in, like, in blue.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that shirt.
Yeah, I got my my Elio shirt on. Yeah,
that's
we just...
cool for the party. He's that guy.
Yeah, we got some funny lines about how he doesn't want to participate in the economy because he doesn't like money.
He doesn't. He's trying to barter.
Yeah.
This guy.
He makes fun of Lady Bird's smoking cloves, says there's fiberglass in it.
Yeah, he only does hand rolled.
Because of course.
Yeah.
And they make out.
Yeah.
And in a moment of heated passion, Lady Bird says, "I don't want to have sex yet." Kyle says, "No." And then Lady Bird says, "I haven't had sex yet." And Kyle says, "No, me neither." Implying that he also hasn't had sex yet, but he's probably responding just to the first part. Because he takes his hands off her for a moment to be like, "No, it's okay. I don't want to." But yeah, she's led to believe that he's a virgin. And they end up in a room that houses the tanning bed. And Lady Bird says, "Julie would love this." And then Kyle says, "Who's Julie?" Because, yeah, she's so far from the social situation she was in the beginning.
Yeah.
And now she's in the bathroom, finding Kyle's yearbook picture and taking a bath, doing her thing.
Doing her thing.
And she
finds some pills.
Antidepressants, yeah. Mm-hmm. She uses two towels, which Marion sees, and just she needs to know.
She needs to know.
It's up her whole day.
Yeah.
And then they have a mother-daughter talk. Yeah, they have a mother-daughter talk about sex and depression.
Yeah, she learns her dad is depressed. And she's like, "Is it because, you know, he's not successful? And the mom is like, "You know, being successful doesn't make you a happy person." But she's like, "Yeah, but, you know, but he is sad.
He's unhappy and he's unsuccessful."
Yeah, like he's both. So.
Yeah. Now Lady Bird's hanging out in Jenna's pool and they have the requisite shot for every contemporary teen movie, which is the underwater, just teenagers swimming.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all of them. It's in all of them.
Water. Pools of water.
The underwater shot. Mm-hmm. I guess once that got cheap enough to shoot people underwater. I just feel like all the teen movies have it. We get a couple lines from Jenna that deepens her character a little bit. I mean, we just get to know about her dreams, which are to stay in Sacramento, a city she loves, where she wants to raise
her
family.
Yeah, she's not ashamed of it like Lady Bird is. Mm-hmm. Lady Bird wants to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lady Bird says, "At least go to San Francisco." But Jenna says, "I don't like hills."
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Then it's math class, and there's an empty desk next to Lady Bird where Julie used to sit. So now Lady Bird's going to confront Julie, who has a new friend, Darlene. Darlene cracks me up this performance. She's just like, "Why do you want to talk to Julie?"
Yeah, don't talk to Julie.
And then Lady Bird's like, "Darlene, just let me talk to Julie." And Julie's like, "Darlene, stay!"
Yeah.
Julie switched math classes because Lady Bird, I don't know, she's hurt that Lady Bird is hanging out.
Yeah, she is hurt. Yeah, she's like, isn't Kyle and Jenna enough?
And that Lady Bird isn't even in the play, even though she got the role. And She says, there is no role of the Tempest. And Julie says, it's the titular role, which, I mean, they're both right, I guess. They made up the role for Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Then just more Lady Bird being a bad girl, speaking out at the abortion assembly.
Yeah.
Just because something looks ugly doesn't mean it's morally wrong.
Yeah. I can understand her, like, speaking up, but she kind of does get really disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely crosses the line in which she's just like, yeah, if you were aborted, then we wouldn't be at this stupid, meeting or whatever. And it's like, damn, her life does have meaning at this point. She is alive. You're talking to a person that is living. Have some compassion, I guess, but
right.
Everybody else is like, even Jenna is like,
oh, Jenna hides. Yeah.
She's like, nope, don't want this. Next scene, suspended.
Next scene, getting yelled at by her mom. Her dad's in the room playing solitaire.
Yeah.
We get that. I mean, all the talk about money kind of comes to a head where, Marion is saying, do you know how much it costs to raise you? Everything I do is for you, taking double shifts. Your dad's unemployed. How do you think he feels when you make him drop you off? And then Lady Bird gets out that legal pad and says, give me a number. Tell me how much it costs and I'll get very rich and pay you back. But then Marion's like, I don't think that's enough money.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Just chops that tree down real quick.
Lady Bird spends her suspension just watching the news about the Iraq invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Which I remember watching some of that in 2002, trying to wrap my head around that. Turns out it's just oil. It's just bullshit and oil. Anyway, Jenna shows up at the wrong house, thinking she's popping into Lady Bird's house.
Yeah, like, but guess where I am? Yeah,
it's really Danny's grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And she does not like dishonesty.
Nope, she's very upset. They are kind of friends? Really not.
She says, if you're still going to be dating Kyle, I mean, I guess I'll see you around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of does it for their friendship.
Yeah, it gives her. That's a good character attribute to give her is like, as she just has like a hard line on like dishonesty.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
yeah. Another character that could just be a superficial, just the rich hot girl, but she gets a little bit of depth. More Iraq invasion news coverage as Lady Bird and Kyle watch that in bed before having sex. That's their foreplay.
That's their foreplay. She's ready.
She's ready, and she's on top.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. Kyle very confidently ejaculates prematurely, but with so much confidence.
Yeah. it's over very quickly.
Yeah, and he doesn't apologize. He's just like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. She was like, oh, I was confused.
Yeah, he's like, nope, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
And she's acting all weird because she's giddy about losing her virginity.
Yeah, she's very touchy-feely, clingy, mushy. It's just like, we have each other flowers, you know what I mean? Like this new experience that she's sharing with this guy that she has strong feelings for. And then the balls just drop.
Yeah. And he's just like, I didn't lose my virginity to you.
Yeah, I didn't lose my virginity to you.
And I know because
to Cassie. Yeah. Cassidy?
Yeah, and Lady Bird's like, you told me you were a virgin. You lied. And he says, I haven't lied in 2 years.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this fucking asshole. What an asshole.
I'm so curious what the lie was that he told 2 years ago that made him take note of that to stop lying.
I haven't lied in 2 years. I was like, no, you definitely were not very clear with her.
Yeah, though as I rewatch it, I kind of understand where he was coming from, where he started answering her with the first part about, I'm not ready to have sex right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I don't know. But yeah, definitely a miscommunication.
I don't know. I don't know. I watched it. I thought he did say that he was also a virgin.
He didn't say those words. He just said, yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
After yeah. she said, so, yeah. I'm not ready to have sex. I haven't had sex before.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That community.
Yeah, but so, he's thrown off about why she's so hurt by this. He thinks she can just decide not to be hurt by it. Do you know how many civilians are dying every day in Iraq?
Yeah, it really tries to like downplay her emotions, and she's like,
yeah,
be sad about more than one thing. Like, you can be sad mm-hmm. about other things, and
right,
you know, he's just like, you know, I don't get why you're so mad. You're gonna have so much like
unspecial
sex in your life.
Yeah,
and she's she just says, like,
who
yeah,
who the fuck this is on top for their first time?
Yeah, who the fuck is on top? And also, I thought I was having this experience that was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really big.
Yeah, that can probably fuck someone up.
Yeah.
Their first major sexual experience being like that.
Yeah.
Marion picks her up. She walks downstairs. We get a glimpse at the cancerous father.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
And Marion picks her up. She thought Miguel was coming, but Marion says, it was easier for me to come. That's just like a throwaway line, but it's like, yeah, Miguel probably didn't want to leave, so Marion's just doing more work because she's the one in the household that takes care of everything and everyone.
Yeah.
She sees her daughter crying, so she suggests that they do their favorite Sunday activity.
This is my favorite scene.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this is it.
Oh.
This is it. Yeah, because it's like the one time where they're actually nice to each other mm-hmm. while they are awake. Like, truly nice yeah. to each other.
Yeah, Marion is really indulging Lady Bird's fantasies of having more money.
Yeah, and I also think that she wants it, too. I feel like this is, like, where we actually see them, like, connect on something. Because yeah, they go to open houses, but she also stated, like, she said, I never thought I would be in this house for 15 years. I mm-hmm. thought we would move somewhere better.
Yeah.
You know, she also wants better.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just, like, this really cute moment of them looking at houses and talking about it and being like, you know, this would be my room. You know, mm-hmm. I would put this in the kitchen. Yeah. And, yeah, it's really nice. But it's, like, no words. You can just mm-hmm. put it together yourself, and it's really sweet.
Yeah. Next scene, Lady Bird gets some letters from colleges. First two are rejections. Second one, yeah. or third one, is a wait list, which she celebrates.
Yeah, it's good enough for her.
Yeah. Then her father is at a job interview
mm-hmm.
With the guy who's the friend on that show, Love. Just recognize him. And he's like, turns out we learn that the company that laid off Larry is now closed. They went out of business.
Yeah.
But also Larry's just really out of place interviewing for this company that seems to be like a startup with a lot of young people.
Yeah. The interviewer doesn't even know
how to do an interview.
Yeah, how to do an interview. He's like, what do we do next?
Yeah, he says, well, maybe tell me about the position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he walks out, and Lady Bird was with him. And on their way out to get ice cream or something to cheer them up, mm-hmm. in walks Miguel with no piercings. We forgot to mention that during the screaming match, Lady Bird yells, and you'll never get a job with all that shit in your face.
Yeah.
And that scene ended with Miguel like touching his face, like, uh-oh. So now... it was referenced earlier that both Larry and Miguel have math degrees, so it makes sense that they'd be applying for the same job, but it's just like a weird moment when they're leaving and Miguel walks in.
Yeah.
So Larry just shakes his son's hand and says, good luck.
Go get him.
Mm-hmm. then really the scene that if anyone is watching this movie and is like lost about like what it's trying to say, the scene kind of clears that up with Sister Sarah Joan going over Lady Bird's college essay, complimenting Lady Bird on how affectionately she writes about Sacramento. And up until now, we've only heard Lady Bird complain about Sacramento, but apparently she wrote about it lovingly in her essay.
Yeah.
Lady Bird says, I guess I pay attention. And Sister Sarah Joan says the line, don't you think they're the same thing, love and attention?
Attention, yeah.
Yeah. So then for viewers, maybe that it'll click into place that that's at the heart of the relationship between Marion and Lady Bird. And then it's further exemplified in the next scene with Lady Bird trying on prom dresses.
Yeah.
And she says, I wish you liked me. And Marion says, yeah. Of course I love you. And she says, but do you like me?
Do you like me?
I want you to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And she says, what if this is the best version? And then that face she gives her daughter.
Oh, the face she's like is appalled. Great.
Like, you think this is the best?
Like, come on, be serious.
Yeah. but I remember that feeling, especially like senior year of high school, kind of thinking I've arrived. Like this, the me that I am now is the me. Like I got here. You think you got your shit figured out?
No, not me. Not me. I knew I had a lot, a lot of growth to happen with when I was in college. That college was gonna be that moment for me. Definitely not high school.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't picture myself changing that much for some reason. Just naivety. Then it's prom time, and Kyle is a fuckboy, so he's just honking the car from outside.
Very different from Danny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And as
the dad is just like, you're not going to go out with a guy that honks. And she's like, yeah, I think I am.
Yeah.
Miguel's like,
even you deserve, better.
Yeah, even you deserve better.
Yeah. And as she's approaching the car, we can hear Jenna and her boyfriend in the backseat saying, she's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, she's weird.
And then we get in the car, and the scene I was thinking about before when I was referencing characters being hypocrites, because now Kyle apparently has a cell phone, because he's talking on a cell
phone. Yeah, I didn't even, like, peep it. Yeah
that's something I didn't catch until subsequent viewings. But, yeah, dude's got a cell phone.
Completely.
They make plans to ditch prom and just go over to the kid's house who's hosting the after party. Lady Bird says, sure.
Yeah.
And then the Dave Matthews Band song is playing, and Kyle says, I hate this song. And Lady Bird says, I actually really like this song. And in like in the same breath, the same thought, I do want to go to prom, because it's she's okay liking the stuff that is seen as uncool, because she likes it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the movie was Lady Bird just posturing, kind of trying to come off cooler than she is. You know, not being herself, but now she's accepting that she likes Dave Matthews Band and wants to go to prom.
Yeah, and she wants to go to prom.
Dropped off at
Kyle Julie's. Is actually nice enough to drop her off at Julie's place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just happy to get rid of her.
Yeah.
Julie's place, who is like a condominium or an apartment or something, so much smaller than Lady Bird's house.
Lady Bird's, yeah, even really, smaller.
Just hits on how ungrateful Lady Bird is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Julie is sad.
Yeah, she's been crying.
Crying. Yeah, we don't know why exactly.
She says, well, we do, because she has a lot. Some people aren't built happy.
Oh, yeah.
That's her rationalization. She's,
yeah. Sad. But Lady Bird makes her happy.
Yeah, they eat snacks.
Yeah, they eat cheese, a whole block of cheese and crackers.
Talking about sex, and they decide to go to prom.
Yeah, together.
Had a dress. They go together. They take their pictures together.
They dance together.
The nuns looking.
Yeah, and like, yeah. What is this?
And then we get our last scene with Julie. It's a sunset over a river by the bridge. Really beautiful shot. And it's we learn that Julie won't be around for the summer because her her biological father came out of the woodworks and wants to spend some time with her. So they have a big goodbye.
Yeah.
That's a wrap on Julie. And it's very emotional, the hug between those two friends that then leads into Danny's monologue at the end of The Tempest, which appears to be a much better production than Merrily We Go Along.
He's funny, good monologue, right?
Yeah, good Shakespearean performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great.
The football coach did this.
Yeah, at the end, the coach stands up and cheers like a touchdown.
Yeah! And Lady Bird is there in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, supportive.
Being supportive, yeah.
Friend. And then get graduation.
Mm-hmm.
She's called Christine Lady Bird McPherson, and she gets her diploma. And they have a post-graduation dinner.
And, yeah, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. They toast to Lady Bird going to UC Davis.
Yeah.
We learn that Miguel got the job that him and his dad interviewed for, and mm-hmm. that Lady Bird is going to be able to work at the grocery store for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel's old position. And then Danny drops by and asks about the wait list, and Larry says, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Because up until then, they were able to keep it from Marion.
Yeah. And now she's like, what wait list?
Yeah.
And that's when we get this heartbreaking scene where Lady Bird is trying to plead with her mother. And it's like, yeah, I know I'm bad and I know that I do all this stuff, but like, talk to me, please. Talk to me. And it's
that I got waitlisted. I mean, I know it's easier this year because of 9/11, but still.
Yeah. But no, her mom is like not talking to her, not looking at her. She does not exist to her mother. Mm-hmm. It is heartbreaking, but
and it's followed by a pretty sad montage of summer. Lady Bird continues working at the cafe, now also working at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
getting money. You know, Julie's not around. We don't see her hanging out with any friends. She does finally pass her driver's test, so that's
cool. Yeah.
Even though she's about to be going to New York, so why does she need a driver's license? But whatever.
She turns 18.
Yeah, she has a birthday, gets a cupcake mm-hmm. with Dad, and there's that moment where she goes to the convenience store to buy all the stuff you can't get until you're 18. The cigarettes, the lottery ticket, and she gets a Playgirl.
Yeah, nudie mag.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it's my birthday today. That's why I can buy all those things. Like,
yeah.
She just had to state it because she was just going to get it otherwise. That's like when you turn 21, you go to the bar
mm-hmm.
and you get the drink without them checking your ID. And you're like, hold up, check my ID.
Yeah, right.
I'm 21 now. Yeah. Like, come on, do it.
Yeah. And she gets her acceptance letter to the college that isn't explicitly stated, but is implied to be NYU.
Yeah.
And so she's painting her bedroom, taking down all her posters.
Yeah. Starting anew.
Yeah. Paints over Danny and Kyle's names.
Yeah. I like that.
She gets a tracking device.
Mm-hmm. The dad has to refinance the house, which.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
It's terrible. Because you just know that, like,
it's 2002 just, like, and you know what's going to come up.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Yeah. The dad is so, giving.
And we have moments of Marion sitting at the kitchen table at night, just tearing up this legal pad, trying to write something, and just keeps crumpling the pages.
Yeah.
And then is the airport sequence, which apparently was filmed. I forget what the term is, where they had, I think it's called like stealing the shot. Like they didn't have the permit to shoot at the Sacramento airport. So they got that whole thing with her dropping off Lady Bird and then Marion drives around and loops back. They got that all in the first take, which is really even highlights how incredible the Laurie Metcalf performance is there.
She's phenomenal. She's a phenomenal actress. Like she knocked that out the park.
Yeah, she holds her own when she's...
Just like that face journey she goes through.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she's just so tough. She's just so goddamn tough.
But it all comes
down. She won't even say goodbye to her daughter, and she just instantly regrets it. She's just like, oh no, what did I do? What have I done?
Yeah, and she's just waiting for the moment where she can turn to go back. She's like, okay, here it is.
Like, here
smiling
it is.
And crying and... she's too late because 9/11 happened, so she can't go right up to the gate. Just sees Larry and hugs him, and he says she'll be back.
Yeah, she'll be back. She'll come back.
Also, when they got out of the car, there was a shot of Larry sneaking a manila envelope into Lady Bird's luggage.
Yeah.
We get the details on that next because Lady Bird's now in her college dorm room.
Mm-hmm.
Just, if she wanted a big house, she... really downgraded because she had a pretty big bedroom,
and now she's to herself
in a NYU dorm with her twin bed like 2 feet from another twin bed, and that's the whole room. And she finds the notes from her mother that her dad salvaged, and he gave her all of the different versions that she wrote. Apparently, she was never able to settle on one. Like she never got to the one that she was gonna actually give her daughter.
Yeah, she thought her daughter would be too judgmental of her writing, right. So she didn't give her anything. Yeah. But the father gave it to her just so she would know how much her mom loves her.
Yeah, and she does. She cries.
And she does. Yeah.
And then get a little peek at Lady Bird experiencing college for the first time.
Yeah.
She goes to a party. She meets a guy, shakes hands, of course. Notably introduces herself as Christine and not Lady Bird.
Yes. Now all of a sudden she wants to just fit in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The guy asks her where she's from. She says Sacramento. He says what? So she changes her answer to San Francisco. She's still lying to seem more important, more interesting.
Yeah, still lying. So much growing to do.
She drinks a lot. And is at one point, like halfway up a window, pointing up at Bruce, the star.
Yeah. She's like, there. Bruce. Yeah.
Gets a guy back in her little dorm room. Mm-hmm. Of course, the college guy is just being judgmental, looking through her CD collection, judging her.
Her greatest hits.
They're all greatest hits. And she says, but they're the greatest.
But they're greatest hits. Like, how can you go wrong? And then they start making out. And she throws up.
And very quickly escalates to, apparently she got alcohol poisoning, needed to get her stomach pumped, wakes up in the hospital. Has this moment where she, like, stares at this child who... Something happened with his eye. Yeah, has gauze over one eye, and it's like very serious. And I guess the idea is, look at your life, girl. Like, get your shit together.
Get your shit together.
You have your shit's pretty good for you.
Yeah.
And then as
this is so funny.
As predicted in last week's movie. All the
biggest laugh.
Go out. They party on a Saturday night, and then they go to church on Sunday.
When I tell you,
it was so funny watching that after watching Two Can Play That Game, because that's exactly what Lady Bird does.
Yeah,
she goes to a very beautiful service in New York with the.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible choir. She's like up in the balcony looking at the stained glass, attending church, which was never something she was into. She only was at that school because her mom made her go instead of public school because she was scared about her daughter's safety there.
She's missing home.
Yeah, now she has that connection where she can go to church and feel a connection to her home.
Yeah, between calling out for Bruce and going to church, she misses Sacramento.
Yeah. And she's going to leave a message for her parents on her cell phone. This is the last bit, mostly for her mom. She talks about that summer they didn't ever really talk, so they never got to discuss how much she liked driving around Sacramento, all the winding roads and
the just, benches.
Yeah, how it's a beautiful city. And then we get shots of Lady Bird in the car, and it cuts to the sequence we saw earlier of Marion driving home, and it's really driving home. These two ladies are cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
It's like the cuts are matched perfectly, where their faces are in the exact same spot in the frame. And that song, I think, is the same song that was playing earlier plays. And she says, I'm thank you. I think she says, I'm sorry. She says, I love you.
Yeah.
She hangs up, and the movie ends. I like this little detail. It ends on an inhale. Lady Bird inhales, and then it cuts to black.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming of age. She's just starting. She took her Sky's the Limit, where she goes now. Seeing as it was loosely based on Greta Gerwig's own life, I guess maybe she becomes an
Oscar-nominated
screenwriter. Yeah.
Yeah.
And actor and director. That's Lady Bird.
That's Lady Bird.
That's it. Trying to think if I had any other loose thoughts, but I didn't write anything down, so I guess I don't. So I'll ask, is Lady Bird a movie or a film?
Lady Bird is a film? Lady Bird is a movie.
Those are the two options.
Yeah. Lady Bird is a film. Lady Bird is a film. I want to say, like, it's not a question. Lady Bird is a film.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going movie. I'm surprising myself, and I'm going to say movie. I think it's super well made. So much, like, care and attention is put into the making of the movie. It's definitely fun and emotional, but for me, I'd say it's a coming of age movie. For me, this is a tough one. This is a movie film, I'd say.
Yeah,
it kind of works as both.
You make me want to change my answer now.
Yeah, I don't know.
You maybe want to say Lady Bird. Lady Bird is a movie.
I think it might be an artfully made movie. Possibly. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Final answer. Lady Bird. It's a picture. Lady Bird's a movie.
Is she a lady or a bird?
Is she a lady or a
is
bird?
Is it a lady or a bird? Lady. Okay, let us know what you think. I guess this is a tough one, so tell us what you think. Tweet us at Movie Film Pod, same handle on Instagram. You know, find us on Facebook. Like and subscribe on YouTube.
Yes.
Your friends. Yeah, thanks for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And we're going to be back with more on movie. Oh no, you're frozen. All right, I'll just finish it up. On movie, film. Ew. Okay. Bye.